attracted partners who, instead of saying you're too much, would say, is there more? Which was like, yes, yes, there's more. There's always more.
Welcome to the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our inner wisdom and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to self-discover, create, and be present in the world, while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our sense of empowerment so we can live our lives ecstatically. Now let's welcome our host, Alara Sage.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast, where we activate and inspire women in their power, in their authenticity, and in their bliss. I'm your host, Alara Sage, and my beloved ecstatics, you know, we talk on this space a lot about ecstasy, about energy, about pleasure, about embodiment. And it's always so important that we speak to directly the companionship, the experience, the intimacy of the act of sex and why that is so important to humanity and how it's also very important to our own evolution as a human and as a soul. So here today we have our wonderful guest, Satya Leela, who specializes in helping women and couples to enhance their intimate connection, to allow the erotic, divine energies to move through them, to feel the ecstatic bliss of a sacred sexual connection, and enjoy epic, earth-shattering lovemaking. It sounds so delicious, Satya, my love. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be with you. You're wonderful. You really embody that.
Yes,
lovely to be in it.
Thank you, my love. I'm so excited to have you here because we've kind of alluded to just a really delicious conversation that's available here today and potentially a really just awe-inspiring story that you have. So let's kick this off with, what is your definition? How do you experience sacred sexuality?
Oh, that's a really good question. Sex is like a catalyst. The sex is a very accessible way to access the energy of the divine. One of my teachers once said that orgasm is a glimpse of enlightenment. That moment of bliss is like the most accessible human experience that that we humans can have, that gives us a taste of what enlightenment is like. I think it's only a taste. I think enlightenment is like massive orgasm that goes on forever. But having that orgasmic energy moving through us is a way to open ourselves to that experience so that it becomes familiar. And sacred sexuality, there's a lot of breath and movement practices that help you drop into that energy more quickly and easily and stay in it for longer. So to me, that's like the window opens wider and stays open for a longer period of time. So that's really the essence of why sexuality is so important. Sacred sexuality is so important if you're wanting to be on a spiritual path. It just speeds things up.
I really love how you brought that in. That's just delicious. I've never heard of it like this as a glimpse to enlightenment, as a way that is accessible, right, to us as humans. Mm-hmm. And definitely through my experience, you know, I've had a lot of, well, I used to be very numb sexually and emotionally and you know, in my body. And I had a spontaneous Kundalini awakening, and I came into this ecstatic expression to the point that now that ecstatic bliss is felt outside of sex, right? It's just felt in a lot of just being and playing and having fun. And sometimes when I talk, I get waves of bliss. And it's so true. It is, they are mirroring each other. And one day, just what you're saying reminded me of this. The mother, the great mother came to me, and I was actually on a run. She loves to come to me when I'm out in nature on my runs. And she said to me, "I'm always in ecstatic bliss." And I was just like, oh my gosh, of course you are, right? Like, of course she's just in this ecstatic orgasm constantly. And, you know, she dropped into my body what I say is a grain of sand, you know, per the beach of her experience of that orgasm. And I almost couldn't handle it in my body. And it was, you know, tiny, 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 tiny little bit of it. But it's just so extraordinary to feel that, for one. Yeah. And, you know, it really does feel divine. Mm-hmm. It really does feel divine. And I think it's really beautiful to think that not only can we experience this with ourselves, but in union with another, right? And in this very intimate container of being naked and, you know, our naked bodies, and there are, you know, bodily fluids and all these things that happen that are so human. Mm-hmm. And then there, as you said, this beautiful accessibility to that divinity. So thank you so much for bringing it so beautifully into this space.
Oh, thanks. You're welcome. My pleasure. Yeah. Yeah.
Was this something that you always have experienced, or what was kind of your evolution to this?
Well, I was always a very sexual being from the time I first went into puberty, except when I was in my 30s, I was in a relationship that was really with a man that was really shut down sexually. And he was blaming me for it. And he was telling me things like I was too much and too intense. And I believed him. I found out later from him, like 20 years later, that he was intimidated by my sexual energy, and he found out he had been sexually abused as a child. But we didn't know that at the time. So we were just really struggling. And I made a codependent decision to shut my energy down, dial it way back to not intimidate him. And that was not a decision I would recommend. We just both got miserable, you know, it was really not happening. And so we were doing some therapy, and the therapist recommended a sacred sexuality workshop. And we went, and it was like this moment of hope. We had this sweet connection. He was present, and it was really sweet. But then afterwards, he didn't want to go back and do any more of it. And we just kind of limped along for another year, and then mutually, with relief, decided to separate. And then I was on my own, and I was shut down. I hadn't had an orgasm in probably a year and a half. I hadn't made love. I was just like really, really shut down and miserable. And I remember I had met a man, and I was thinking about being sexual with him. And I remember just like being terrified that to do that, I was afraid that I wouldn't work, my body wouldn't work, that I wouldn't respond, that I didn't know, I wouldn't remember how to do it. It was this moment of like, I can't ever allow this to happen again. You know, I can't I can't make myself small for someone else, and I have to cultivate this in myself. So I went back to do the sacred sexuality workshops and did a whole bunch of them and very, very often. And then I started assisting in the workshops. And then I did a teacher training and learning how to teach sacred sexuality, because it brought me back to life again, to and far beyond what I had ever been before. I remember before this, I did the sacred sexuality workshops. I didn't ever have problems being orgasmic, but I would feel like, God, I could have gone a lot longer, but my body was just, I was too tired because I had all this tension in my body and I couldn't yeah. maintain that. And I learned through the sacred sexuality how to relax and breathe and move the energy through my body. And I could just like ride those waves for hours at a time. And that's life changing, to be in that kind of energy for hours at a time. It's really does something to your brain, I think, to do that. Mm-hmm. And I attracted partners who, instead of saying you're too much, would say, is there more? Which was like, yes, yes, there's more. There's always more. So that's the reason that I'm so motivated to teach it, because it was such a drastic change for me. It took me to such a different level, even though I was already very happy with, well, I wasn't after the repercussions of that relationship, but in general, in my life, I had been very happy with my sexual energy and I thought it was great, but there was more that I couldn't even imagine. So, yeah.
I love how you bring up tension, because I speak a lot to that and the importance of relaxation. And, you know, my experience with that is I didn't even know how tense I was, right? Until I really started to explore my pelvis and my pelvic bowl and, you know, just the areas of my body. And I found all this tension that I wasn't even aware that I had, because I'm not an anxious person. I've never been an anxious person. I've always been very calm. So I didn't actually believe that I held tension. But when my higher self started showing me and telling me to relax in my pelvis, and I drew my awareness there, wow, I really was holding tension there. And I always say that, yeah, where you're holding tension, energy literally can't flow, right? There's no availability to that flow. And I love how you point to how your body actually couldn't handle it because it was holding on to tension. But then as you learn to relax, it's like there's no end to that, right? And I equate that a lot to, even though we're talking about sexuality, you know, when people say that they get overwhelmed, when they're chronically tired, I don't think that it's any different, because our sexual energy is our creative life force energy, right? And so if we're holding a lot of tension, we're really not available for that flow to move through us. And we become overwhelmed, we become exhausted, we become chronically fatigued, right? Whereas when we learn to really open up to that creative life force energy, it's amazing, not only just how much like energy we experience, but also just the levels of sensation and pleasure and your availability to move through discomfort, right? Or emotions that don't feel really good. Have you noticed through your journey of sacred sexuality how that has helped you? Kind of what I'm saying, and outside of the practice of sex, how it's affected you in everyday life?
Yeah, it's like being tuned into a flow that is a universal flow. It's like the universe is made up out of energy. And when you learn to move your body with that with that energy through, you know, through moving sexual energy, there's and learn to stay surrendered and relaxed, then it's like the body resonates with a flow that's very positive and very, whoops, I'm sorry. I thought I had my phone turned down, but the alarm came anyway, so apologize for that. So
that's okay. I'll edit it out.
The body resonates with a pattern of energy that gets you into flow with the universe, mm-hmm. universal flow. And once you're in that universal flow, then everything works more smoothly and easily. You meet the person you need to meet at the perfect time. You know, think about calling somebody and they pick up they call you while the phone's in your hand. And, you know, stuff like that happens when you can align with that universal flow. And the moving the sexual energy is like a practice. For a really strong practice for moving the flow, for being aligned with the flow. So, I think it makes everything buzz along more freely.
Buzz along more freely. I love that. Yes. So talk a little bit about, for the listeners, you know, this moving of the sexual energy. Describe that a little bit, explain that a little bit to them.
Okay. Well, the sexual energy, it normally stays in the pelvis. It's Kundalini, it's called in the yogic and tantric traditions. And Kundalini means coiled. And it's coiled like a serpent in the basket. The pelvis is the basket. And during most normal Western kind of sexual energy, because people are so contracted, it actually stays in the pelvis, and it's a very localized sensation, and it builds up really fast, but there's no place for it to go, so it pops off into an orgasm really quickly. But with sacred sexuality, there are movements of the spine that help, and breath techniques that help the energy to rise up the spine like the serpent coming up out of the basket. And it produces waves moving up the spine from the pelvis up all the way through the top of the head. And It's all you have to do is relax and breathe, basically, and it will happen. The energy wants to do it. Mm-hmm. And the really cool thing about it is that when you do that and you allow the energy to spread out through your whole body, you have what's called a full body orgasm instead of a peak orgasm. It's a valley orgasm. Instead, a peak orgasm, the energy builds, it peaks, and it drops, and then you're done. But a valley orgasm, there's waves and hills and valleys and little peaks and valleys, and then again and again, and it just can go on and on. I've seen both men and women be in orgasmic energy for an hour at a time. And men especially are really surprised that they can have that kind of experience, because It's not very well known, but it's not an ejaculation for that long, but it's an orgasm. The little tingles and chills and thrills that happens right before ejaculation, that's when the orgasm starts. So you get the chills and thrills and tingles for a long time, and you can choose whether to ejaculate or not. The ejaculation is what ends the energy.
Yeah, that was a really beautiful description. And, you know, with my experience of it, you know, the localized, just like you said, it's a peak, and then that's it. And it, you know, it can feel very good localized, but it's very specific. And I don't know, once you've had the full body orgasm, the localized is just kind of like, it's almost like you're just getting a little portion of what's really possible. Yeah. And mm-hmm. for me, you know, I had the localized orgasm, you know, my whole life. And it wasn't even very easy for me because I had tension and I had been sexually abused and I had to really concentrate, and then I would have it, you know, and it just never, I knew that there was more, somewhere within me knew that there was more. So I was really kind of disappointed in sex, even though I was highly sexual. And so I was really confused. Mm-hmm. And after my Kundalini awakening and feeling that full body orgasm, that was like, yes, this is what I've been, you know, sensing as possible. And, you know, what I experience now or orgasmically, which again is very radically different to what I had experienced my whole life until the age of like 34, is, you know, these, like you said, these waves of orgasm. And really for the woman, just, you can go to this place where you just, you're just in this, it's like a vibration of orgasm. You know, you, sometimes it feels like these waves, and then other times it's just like this pure ecstatic energy. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, you're relaxed and you breathe into that even more, you know, you end up going interdimensionally. Like, you don't even know where you go, right? You totally go out into these other experiences. And mm-hmm. it's such a powerful healing energy, I find. I find mm-hmm. that it's so rejuvenating to both myself and my partner. And it feels like there's just no limitation to it, right? It feels mm-hmm. like there's no, it's not going to run out, you know, there's no lack there. And it's such a beautifully high vibratory energy. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to share mm-hmm. my experience through it as well. And I would love to ask you, what is your experience, as far as allowing the sexual energy out the crown, or do you practice a modality of circulating that energy back around?
I tend to just allow it to do what it wants to do because it's got its own wisdom, and I don't want to control it too much. I'm really all about surrender and letting divine grace move through me. Really, for me, it's much more pleasurable to just surrender. It's simple. It's not always easy, but it is very simple. And you were speaking earlier about going into other dimensions. There's an experience that I had that was happened with surrender that I'd like to share because it's an illustration of that. I was making love with my partner, John, who I've been with the last 10 years. And he's a wonderful man and very devoted to honoring the goddess through me and through my body. And that's an element of what we include in our lovemaking. And he was pleasuring me. And I was lying back, and he was giving me oral sex. And I had the inspiration to imagine my yoni as a portal. And for those people who don't know the word yoni, it's a Sanskrit word that means vagina or vulva. And its literal translation is sacred space, which I love. Just even that gives you a sense of sacred sexuality, sacred space. It's a very different attitude towards sexuality embodied in that word. But so I was imagining my yoni as this cosmic opening, a cosmic portal, And my eyes were closed, and I had a vision of a black background with a yoni shaped gold light and all these gold rays of light radiating out from the yoni shape. And I saw that for a moment, and then I just flipped into light, and I was just in this luminous emptiness. It was just the most exquisite, floaty, expansive love and light. And oh my God, there's really no words to describe it. It was amazing. It was just this, it showed me, it gave me a moment of being in the oneness, being in the source where we came from. And that's so precious to have those moments like that. That was a really strong one, that particular moment. And I've had others since then, but that one in particular, was very visionary and just beautiful.
I could really feel that while you were describing. My body just started like lighting up and tingling you were talking about the light in particular. And I'm so grateful that you shared that. And I would love, you know, to tell the listeners, I think a lot of times for women, if we have partners, I know this a lot with my clients, and I'd be curious to hear your perspective as well. But with my clients, a lot of times, if, you know, they don't think that their partners would be up for these kinds of things, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't teach sacred sexuality, but even just, you know, diving deeper into that role with each other and being present. I've worked with a lot of women in their pleasure and their sexual energy. And they're like, I don't know, you know, what he's going to think. And yet when they go and converse with their men are usually really excited. And particularly when the woman learns to communicate, right? Because women are not good communicators. And, you know, the men are just like kind of left in the dark trying to figure it out. And so I find that when my clients learn to communicate, the men are really, really willing, and they just really desire, right, to serve women and really to just, and not that that's the man serving the woman, but just in that way of what we're speaking of in context. And, you know, when you spoke about your partner and him giving you oral sex, it reminded me of when I met my partner. I had this book called Sexual Magic, and like, I was still pretty shut down at that time. And the first exercise in it was like, open your legs and have your man stare at your yoni in awe. And actually I had the book before I met my partner, and I was like, what man is going to do this? You know, and I shut the book and I put it back up on my shelf. And then when I met my partner, he wasn't even spiritual, but he really honored the woman and the body. And he did the exercise one day as we were just engaging sexually. And I was laying there naked with my legs open. He just sat there staring at me with just this real honor. I could feel it in my whole yoni, like lit up. And she was just like, wow. And all this energy flushed through me. And so I bring that story through because I think oftentimes we're unsure and maybe we're hesitant, or we're, you know, we don't necessarily think that our partners are going to be ready to engage with us this way. But I deeply believe now that I've gone through this with myself and with my clients, that this is something that we all want as humans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I think there are some men who are self-centered and selfish in their sexuality, but there's a whole lot of men who really get their pleasure from the woman's pleasure. And they're the ones to be with.
They're the ones to be with, exactly. I love that so much. Yes. The ones that are self-centered, they can just go take care of themselves. Like, forget about it. Yes, that's a really important distinction. Yeah. I like that.
And there's a teaching in sacred sexuality that women are the gatekeepers. That's why I was imagining the Mayoni as a portal. That if men, women have such an immense capacity for pleasure, we're more naturally oriented to express that pleasure than men are. But if men put their energy into helping the woman open up and get bigger and give her a lot of pleasure at the beginning of a session of lovemaking, then she can, when she opens, she can take him to places that he can't get to on his own. And it's all based on her pleasure, because the more she is opened up, whole body, like, you know, her back is touched, her legs are touched, you know, it's like every part of my body, the more my body is touched and awakened, the more I'm like, you know, the channels are open for the energy to move. And then he gets kind of taken along with it. And so it's really in a man's highest interest to do that, to care about a woman's pleasure. And, because it's going to come back to him in a way that is beyond what he can imagine if he's never experienced it.
Oh, I love that so much. Because again, that's been my experience with my partner, who is very much and has been from the get-go all about my pleasure. And just what you said, he's experienced a lot of things, you know, that he's never experienced before. And we're not trained in sacred sexuality. And in fact, you know, when we met, he had to help me through even some deeper energies in my sexual energy and in my pelvis. And he was just so willing to hold that space for me that I moved through a tremendous amount of energy. And, you know, the way that our sexual relationship has evolved has been really extraordinary. And it really makes me emotional as you're speaking, because I love how you say that the women are the gatekeepers. And I just really love the beauty of that. I love the beauty of our world shifting into the space where, you know, we're honored. The woman is honored. The yoni is honored. Her body is honored. And then, you know, that absolutely comes back around to the man, because we've been in a society where it's been the opposite, and it hasn't come back around to the woman. You know, I mean, there for a long time, men were just taking what they desired sexually. And, you know, there wasn't a lot of reverence for the woman. Mm-hmm. And to see it from that angle of the woman being the gatekeeper, I hadn't heard that before. And like, it makes me really emotional. And yet, like, in this, like, openly loving and like, oh, yes, you know, like, yes, that is what we are. And the beauty of how that does wrap back around. And I truly believe, honestly, how it changes the world.
Yeah. Yeah. It does. One of my teachers said, if we could heal sexual shame on this planet, all the other problems would fall into place, because we have, you know, the earth, the lack of respect for the feminine, the lack of respect for sexuality, and lack of respect for the earth is all intertwined. It's all one thing. And so that's another reason I like to work with sexuality, is because it's so fundamental to who we are. If we can make a shift in that, we can shift this planet.
So, what recommendations do you have for somebody who's listening to this, who is interested in beginning to apply some of this to their life?
Mm-hmm. The easiest and most powerful thing is to work with the breath. And basically, the most simple way to do that is to just breathe. Notice if you're breathing, because it's really easy to hold your breath as part of that tension that I was talking about. Holding the breath is very common. So breathing deep and slow and full, and just staying relaxed as possible, and just allowing, surrendering. Breath, relaxation, and surrender are the things you can do without much training at all, or without any training. There's lots of more techniques and, you know, things that you could start on from there. But just those three things are very powerful and very accessible, really easy to do. Relaxing, especially the spine, but the legs too. The legs, the belly, the butt, they tend to be the places where people tighten up the most. And when you do that, if you're used to doing that, you may find that when you relax, you don't get as turned on as quickly. But just be patient when that happens, because what's happening is that when you're used to tightening up, it increases the sensation really rapidly, but it keeps it localized. So relaxing, let it start spreading out, and it's like the container for pleasure is bigger than just the pelvis. It's the whole body, the whole spine, the whole legs, the whole body. And so it takes longer for it to fill up. So it's a slower ramp up, but it's worth it to play with that.
Oh, I really love that. I'd never heard of that either. And I think that's really important, because I've absolutely experienced that and wondered why. So you just gave me the explanation. So it's so wonderful. And I'm a big proponent of the breath as well, particularly because, hey, it's always there and it's free. Yeah. And the more just, you know, relationship that we have with our breath, we can take it into every circumstance, right? Your sexual energy, your into work, right? When you have to speak out in front of people, you can take it when you're feeling afraid, right? You can take it when you need to go to sleep and calm yourself down. Like, when we create that relationship with our breath, it doesn't end the possibility of how we can use it. So I really love that. And of course, I'm a big proponent of relaxation as well. So beautiful information. My love, how can people reach out to you and find you?
The best place is Linktree. I have a page there that has links to several free offers I have, guided meditations for couples or for a single woman, and different classes and things like that that I do. And Linktree is linktr.ee / Satya Leela Sexual Communion. And I'll spell Satya Leela because I always have to spell it Satyalila. So, that's the easiest place to find stuff quickly with me.
Okay, beautiful. And we'll have that in the show notes, but definitely good to spell out for those who are listening. My love, thank you so much for being here. I have definitely learned some things from you and really enjoyed your energy.
Oh, I've enjoyed yours too. It's really wonderful to be with you. It's so nice to feel you resonating with what I was saying.
Yeah, I honestly feel like I'm going to be reaching out to you. So I will follow suit when that wants to happen. But I feel like there is, I just feel like there's a resonance between us. And I feel like there's a potential for you to take my partner and I, you know, even further in that exploratory realm of that union and communion sexually. So I invite the audience, you know, if you're resonating with this conversation as well, absolutely reach out to this beautiful, beautiful being, support her, honor her in her process, and absolutely share this episode as well. As Satya said, you know, the more we all heal this energy, it's transformational. It's definitely been my path. And I actually had one time a tantric teacher tell me the same thing, that she thought that sexual trauma and wounding was like the root of all of the wars and all of the suffering. And I feel a resonance with how transformative it really is. And, you know, truly what would happen in our world if, you know, the portal as the goddess energy, as the woman, as the yoni, was honored and revered in that way. It's really exciting to consider. So please share this episode. And as always, I'm so grateful for your presence here, for your time and your attention. And I look forward to seeing you on the next episode of The Ecstatic Woman. Much love.
Thank you for being a part of The Ecstatic Woman podcast. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your inner wisdom and living your life ecstatically. If you want to be invited back to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.